Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I want you to turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles. And the first place that I want to go is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for us. Now let's think about that. In other words, your eye hasn't seen the good thing that God's going to do for you. Your ear hasn't heard what God's going to do for you. In fact, it's so great, it's beyond that which is in your heart. Now, the Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Amen. So you got a desire to have a man, a good man, a man with a job. Do you want a black man? Do you want a white man? Do you want kind of a half? You want a guy like me that's like a black man trapped in a white man's body. Come on, somebody ought to go with me right now. People never understood me because I was always listening to Johnny Gill. My dad was a country music guy, and I would be listening to Put On Your Red Dress. Let all your hair down. Come on, somebody. I'll make love to you like you want me to. And I'll hold you tight, baby, all through the night. God bless you. We'll see you next week. So my daddy never knew what it was. He said, I don't understand because you were raised on country music. But you always listen to rap music. And you put that together and you get crap music. Come on, somebody. But it was me. So you have to design your life for who you want in your life. You got to say, I see this vision. I see this church. I see me healed. I see me owning my own business. I see me having a house with a pool. I see me living the life of my dreams. Somebody ought to help me right now. And when you go with that scripture, it says, it is written. It is written. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. And nor has it entered into your heart. When I look at what God has done for us as a church, I never dreamed when we were in Fenton that we'd have this big church off of the highway. I didn't know that we'd own the biggest bar in the state of Missouri. I didn't know that God would give us Sunset Hills. I didn't know that God would give us Weldon. I didn't know God would give us a church in Florida. I didn't know He'd give us a chapel. I didn't even have it in my heart. But God's plans for us, church, is bigger than our plans. Somebody ought to help me right now. His plans for you are for good, to prosper you, and to bring you to an expected end. But if you allow the insignificant things that are happening right now that are really small in the scope of what's happening in your future to deter you, it'll keep you back, it'll get you disgruntled, and you'll lose your hope, you'll lose your confidence, you'll lose your enthusiasm, you'll lose your fire. But if you get up and say, this is my banner year, and by God, I'm going to have the best 18, 19, and 2020 that I've ever had, somebody ought to help me right now. But you got to let the devil know, hey, I'm not taking it. I'm not discouraged. I'm not defeated. I'm not depressed. In other words, you can have a chemo appointment and go, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord, and everybody else is confused because your actions don't match your circumstance. But you say, I'm not trying to match my circumstance. I'm saying that God is working behind the scenes and I am healed because He said I'm healed. I'm blessed because He said I'm blessed. I wish I had half. I thought it was an earth city. I'm confused. I went to the wrong camp. Somebody ought to help me right now. You got to let the devil know, this is my banner year and I have decided that I'm going to get back everything the devil stole from me in 18. Drop the mic. That's why I made Nicole wear an earpiece today. Because every time she preaches, she just have to drop the mic all the time. Look at your neighbor and say, eye has not seen. Ears have not heard how good your future is going to be. Now, John chapter 2, verse 17. It says, then his disciples remembered. That's a covenant word. We also do that when we take communion, which if we ever do communion at church, you need to get there, that service. If you were getting married, reschedule it. He remembered that it is written. Jesus said this. My zeal for your house has eaten me up. My zeal for your house has eaten me up. I looked up the word zeal. I just Googled it. I said, hey, Siri. And it said great energy, enthusiasm, in pursuit of an objective, passion, love, fervor, devotion, eagerness, gusto, vigor, energy, fanaticism. In other words, Jesus said, the zeal, the fanaticism, the passion that I have for this house is eating me up. Eating me up. Now, a lot of people live, they're alive, but they're really not living. I don't know what's going to happen to me. You never know. I mean, just hope it gets better. There's just one more thing happens. If the devil just sends one more of those fiery darts at me, I'm probably just going to fail. Then the devil goes, hey, let's just ship two and be done with Shaquita. Come on, somebody. But you got to watch what you say, and you got to say, oh, I'm not moved by what I see. And you go, I'm going to make it. Oh, I haven't done all this day, and I'm enthusiastic and I'm passionate about the house of God, because the devil will try to get you discouraged, which is disengaged from your courage. And now you lose that enthusiasm, which the word entheo, that's where we get the word enthusiasm, is from entheo, theo meaning God. In other words, you are infused with God. So you need to walk out of Faith Church every week going, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm an overcomer, something good has happened to me, and I'm not going to go down this way. I am on fire for God. I'm on fire for the house of God, and I am committed to the cause. And the reason why I go to work is so I can get seed, so I can put seed in the ground so that it could be my harvest. So the reason why I preach is not to build a big church. I don't want to build a big church. I want to build big people who change government, who abolish racism. Somebody ought to help me right now, who change Palm Beach County and St. Louis County for Jesus. Who's enthusiastic about this, and who's going with me? We are strong in the Lord. You got to change the way you think if you want to change the way you live. You got to change the way you talk. Now, Matthew 15, verse 8 says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, what we do sometimes is we can get into a mode to where we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. In other words, we know Christianese. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Really? God is good all the time. And if you're really churchy and all the time, God is good. You're like, you really like you're fluent in churchese. But are you walking the walk? That means if you go to the gas station and you go, oh, gas is really high, then you're not saying I'm blessed and highly favored. People at Faith Church, when Y2K came, remember when Y2K was going to kill y'all? How many of y'all still here? Raise your hand if you're still here. Over half of you. That's awesome. Okay. So Y2K was going to kill you. Remember when anthrax was going to kill you? Come on. And there's always something that's going to kill you. It's going to be anthrax. It's going to be Ajax. It's going to be, come on, somebody. If anything's going to kill you, it's Captain Crunch. You keep eating Captain Crunch every morning, and it's ripping the roof of your mouth open. Come on, somebody say amen in here. So your mouth all, Captain Crunch is good. But it rip your mouth. That's just free. I just put that in there right now. Especially if you don't have enough milk. And we did as kids, because my dad made us eat our cereal. We were so poor, he made us eat our cereal with a fork so he could save milk. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. But in life, if you're not cautious, what happens is you become pessimistic instead of optimistic. So it's always half empty. It's always, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't want a lot of sad sack people in my life. I want people to say, you know what? I'm not just drawing near to God with my mouth. I'm not just honoring him with lip service. I'm saying my heart is not far from the Lord. My heart is near the Lord. And that's why I come to worship on time, because I don't want to just have the word. Because if you get the word, you just get information. You want revelation, not information. Information won't change your life. The crack addict has the information. The crack's going to kill him, but he needs a revelation not to do it. So we come to church and don't just say, give me the word, feed me, help me, bless me. We come into church on time, two of us, and we lift up our hands and we start singing unto the Lord a new song, and we prepare the environment. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And then God says, that person's heart is towards me. But if you're just going to church and you're not really growing to the church, you do this lip service. Now, Nicole, I don't just say I love her. I love her. I mean, I love her. Like my daddy always told me, whatever you do, listen to me, son, right now. Certain things he told me. He said, don't you ever, ever, ever tattoo a girl's name on your body, because you never know when they're going to leave. Tattoo your own name on it because you know you will always be with you, but don't tattoo a girl name. But somewhere around year 7, I just fell so in love with Nicole. And then around 10, I just went totally nuts about Nicole. And around year 15, I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter. And then after about 16 years into it, I said, you know what? I know my dad's dead, and I think it was bad information. And then I decided she can't ever leave me, because if she ever leaves me, I'm going to go with her. So I tattooed her name up on my arm. Somebody ought to help me right now. It says N-I-C-O-L-E. And it cost me a lot of money because the square footage. Come on, somebody. They had to go get more ink. Just go with me on that right there. But this isn't lip service. I love her, and I show her I love her because I am with her. And I'm telling you, God showed his love for us when he pierced his side, tattooed his hands. Somebody ought to help me. Tattooed his head for us. And now he's looking at us going, don't just draw near to me with your mouth. I want your heart. And where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Are you passionate about God? Are you passionate about souls? Are you passionate about building a church in Ferguson, Florida? Are you passionate about a chapel that you may or may never go to? Are you passionate about a church on Highway 95? I'm telling you, God is passionate, and we need to be passionate about God. Come on, somebody ought to give God some crazy praise in here. About 20 seconds. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Hit me again. Hit me one more time. That boy is from Palm Beach, Florida. His name is Daniel. I told him he'd come to St. Louis. I'd hook him up with a good woman. Now I'm lying to you. But one day, I told him it doesn't get that cold in St. Louis. And I brought him here in July. He said, it ain't bad. Then he said, she ain't bad. And then he married my campus pastor. And now he doesn't care how cold it is, because there's always a warm in his house. Come on, somebody out of here. Ah! I can't imagine a white person coming for the first time. What is happening? Listen, it's not always like this. Sometimes it's worse. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1. It said, then David said, this is the house of the Lord our God. I'm going to build an altar to bring God an offering. Everybody shout, an offering. Verse 3 says, and David prepared in abundance, nails, doors, gates, joints, bronze, abundant measure. Verse 5 said, then David said, Solomon, my young son, is young and inexperienced, but he's going to build a house for the Lord, and it must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, glorious throughout all countries. And I now make my preparations for it. In that day, David brought to the Lord a check for $862 million. Everybody say, that's a lot of money. Shout mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, a lot of money up in that church. I checked it again. $867 million. He said, I want to build something magnificent. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm talking about stained glass or high steeples. Magnificent can be all our beautiful campuses. But we have a beautiful campus in a high school getting ready to start another one in Ferguson, Florissant, hot dog, in a high school. And we make them better than they were. In fact, the high school that we're looking at right now, the lights are kind of burnt out, and they need some stuff. The screens are messed up. We're going to go in there because the government doesn't know how to use the tax money. How many of y'all pay taxes? Raise your hand. There's IRS agents in here. Raise them high. How many of y'all pay a lot of taxes? Come on. So I can't figure out how in the world that they can take that much tax money and our schools be jacked up. But that's a whole nother sermon. My thing is if we're so blessed that our church can go and say, we don't need the government, we will fix up the church at a high school and we will make it better. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. That's what we did in West Palm. So David, what's that? We're still shopping for a building in Ferguson, Forsyth. But it's nice to preach with an extra preacher to tell you, hey, here's what you forgot. See, like, stopping the sermon. How many of y'all know I got the Holy Ghost talking over here and I got Nicole talking down there? And how many of y'all know I thank God to listen to both of them? Come on, raise your hand. I think of both of them pretty smart. So David said, basically, I am preparing, like you did, an offering for the house. And it must be a magnificent house. So what's a magnificent house look like? I'm not talking about the outside. I'm talking about you're the church. You're the magnificent house. So a magnificent house church looks like, hey, Fenton's not big enough. Let's go to Earth City. Hey, Earth City's not big enough. Let's buy Sunset Hills. Sunset Hills says, hey, we need to plant Weldon. Weldon says, hey, we need to plant Florida. Because we're one church with many locations. And so some people might ask, if they don't go to this church, well, why does Faith Church need to be everywhere? It's because this church isn't for everybody, but it's for somebodies that would not have been anybody had they not brought their body, come on somebody, to this body of Christ. Somebody ought to help me right now. And so we are called to help refuel people. We're called to bless people. We're a church that says we don't point the finger at you this way. We point it at you this way. To put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. God's not mad at you. God's madly in love with you. We're a church that when most churches in America have 50% of the income goes to salaries, that ours is less than 30 because of the dream teamers who make up the slack. And that's how we pay the television bill. Somebody ought to say, man, that's what makes this a magnificent church. This church is a magnificent church because today in West Palm Beach, Florida, our heavy lifters got there at about 6 a.m. and they set it up and they'll tear it down. This church is a great church because the people of Weldon did that at a high school. This church is a great church because we are going to all pull our money together, our time together, our talent together, and we're going to march into ground zero of racial tension in America right now, into Ferguson, Florida, and we're going to take it back. Somebody ought to help me right now. And we're going to let them know there is a God that is not about black or about white. People say, is God black or white? And I always say, you're going to freak out when you get to heaven. And he says, buenos dias. God is everything. God is male. God is female. God is black. God is white. God is the creator of diversity, and he created each and every one of us to leave a unique thumbprint and imprint on the world. And you are called with a purpose, and the devil has tried to talk you out of what you're called to be. You're called to be great. Somebody ought to help me right now. You're called to be an influencer. You're called to be a teacher. You're called to be a doctor. You're called to bring it. If a truck brought it, if you bought it, a truck brought it. Don't make your life insignificant. Live a big, passionate life saying, I'm getting a seed that I'm going to sow. God's going to bless that seed, and we're going to have a bountiful harvest, and I'm going to be enthusiastic about it, even though I'm going through the divorce, even though I'm going through the depression, even though I'm going through the chemo. I want the emphasis to be on going through. The Bible doesn't say we won't go through hard times. He just said we're going through. He said, walk by faith and not by sight. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. In other words, the thing that you're going through right now that seems like a test, it's actually a testimony. But don't come out just with the moanies. Come out with the testimony saying, yeah, come on, somebody, like David did. David in Florida said, I'm going to have the house. But David and Wendy, they were sending me pictures this week. And they were out there at the chapel campus. And they spray lawns for a living. And we got this Bobo lawn out there that looks like it's got the botulism. And they're out there spraying it. We look and he's in the bug business. So he's getting rid of the bugs. Because he's using his talent and his treasure to help God change a neighborhood. Change a community. Change a reason. This week, even down there, I was told by the contractor who's the general contractor, he called me and said, we can't hardly get any work done because Pastor Austin brought the van, the church van with the Faith Church logo, and he placed it on the parking lot. So now we got people coming in here every 2 minutes yelling, screaming. We thought a moment ago that a woman had been in an accident or somebody was shooting at her because she didn't even park her car. She just opened the door and flew out and said, oh my God, is Faith Church coming here? I watch them on television every week. He said, it gave me a heart attack, dude. I thought she was dying. I thought somebody said some road rage, but these people are so hungry for the power and the presence of God that you brought them through the power of television. Somebody ought to shout amen that they're screaming and they're crying. That's what a glorious church looks like. Jesus said, I'm coming back for a glorious church. And I want to pause here on my regular scheduled program. And some people are saying, oh, church isn't doing well.
I don't know what they're talking about globally. Well, you know what? The church isn't doing well. People don't go to church. It's irrelevant. Here's what's happening. You're being programmed on television by a small group of people who try to tell you that the church isn't going well. I'm telling you that you need to go with this program. And if you know the truth will set you free. And the church is growing, especially this one. Come on, somebody. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. And it's making hell afraid. And the people that are controlling your minds through messaging are telling you that the world is going to hell. I'm telling you it's not. Jesus said, I'm coming back after a glorious church, not an emaciated church, not a broke church. He's coming back for an enthusiastic church who is hell-bent on rescuing people that are heading for the wrong direction, and now we've got them heading towards the right direction, which is heaven. That's what we're called to do. Somebody ought to give God praise right now. You have a call. Shout it, I have a call. Shout it again like you had breakfast. I have a call. So then verse 6 says, then he called his son Solomon and charged him and said, build a house for the Lord of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son is young and inexperienced, but he has a mind, he has a mind, he has a mind to build the house. I have a mind to do that. Some people have they've got a mindset of working out. I have a mindset of building my dream house. I have a mind. Do you have a mind focused towards the Lord? Because at the end of the day, God wants to bless you with the business. But here's what happens. Sometimes when God blesses people with the business, they forget the blessor. So they go for the blessing. Some of the worst thing you could ever do is give people horses, cars, and land. Because now they say, remember the scripture Jesus said, I called the great supper. And I called all these people in and I prepared a great supper. And he said, well, no one's coming. He said, why? He said, well, this guy said, I've got horses. I got to check on those. Another guy basically said, I got a four-wheel drive. I got to check that out. Another guy said, hey, I just got married. You know what I mean? Bow, chicka, wow, wow. I can't come. So the very thing that God blessed you with, now the blessing becomes a counterfeit for the blessor. In other words, God will bless you with stuff, housing, bling, bling, cha-ching, cha-ching. But if the stuff takes priorities over God, then God can regret that he ever gave it to you. So that might even be the blessing blocker, and you're wondering why your business hasn't taken off, why God hasn't blessed you. Are you faithful over the little? Are you coming to church on time now? Are you serving at church? Have you went through Growth Track? You got to check these things off to see if you're in alignment for your assignment. Somebody ought to write that down. You have to be in alignment for your assignment. Let's all shout that. You have to be in alignment for your assignment. Shout it again. Why? Alignment. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know really what you want out of life, you'll just meander through life instead of saying, I'm on divine assignment. Now, let's check this out. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. I did the New King James the first time, just a heads up to all the multimedia people. I also want to send out a big shout out to Wendy in Florida and all the media people, to Brian and all the multimedia people at Weldon, Sunset Hills, all of our campus. Come on, give it up for those people that get here early, program the scriptures. They're doing a good job. Message 9:1. If I wrote any more about the relief offerings for the poor Christians, I'd be repeating myself. Verse 4 says, or just go to verse 5. It says, to make sure there will be no slip-up, I've recruited these brothers as an advance team to get you and your promise offering all ready before I get there. That's what you guys have been doing in the banner you're offering. I want you to have all the time that you need to make the offering in your own way. I don't want anything to be forced, hurried, or last minute. That's why we took weeks and weeks to do it. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop, but a lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and to make up in your own mind what you will give. That'll protect you from sob stories, arm twisting, because God loves a cheerful giver. Our God loves a diligent giver. Our God loves a systematic giver. That's why the tithe is so important. We do that every week because it's systematic. If you do what you feel like doing, you won't always feel like working out. You'll do like me. I get up every day. I'm very diligent and I run around the block 3 times. Then I kick the block back under the bed and I go to sleep. Come on, somebody else. Okay. So you might be diligent in one area, but not diligent in another. So that's why the tithe is so important, because it's a systematic. It isn't, I don't feel married. I don't feel happy. I don't feel, you don't go by your feelings, because your feelings are fickle. God is saying, listen, I want you to actually arm yourself with the ability to intentionally forecast your future. In other words, you see someone else get a blessing and you're running, I wish I'd get a new house like Dave down in Florida. There's a lady at our church, Cassandra, over at the Wellness Spring campus, and they were wanting a new house. And they had several setbacks, and the bank didn't give them the loan. And they had given a banner your offering. Looked disappointment. Actually, she was at Sunset Hills last night, because people double dip a lot of times at Sunset Hills because it goes crazy. And she was there last night, and I actually called her quesadilla because I like it better than Cassandra, because quesadillas are a blessing. Let's just thank God for a quesadilla. And old quesadilla and her husband got a loan. And on the 28th day of December this month, they're not moving into that house that they thought they wanted. They actually got upgraded them, and they actually got to design the home and their custom home. They move in on the 28th to have a quesadilla. Come on, somebody ought to give God some praise today. So we could say, hey, wait a minute. There's a stingy planter gets a stingy harvest. So if you give God a dollar and you expect a $100,000 miracle, probably not going to happen. You get what you sow. I sow love into Nicole, I get love. I sow love into my kids, I get love. I sow love into my church, I get love. I sow criticism, and I check it out. Sometimes in traffic, just for fun, I do this to see what would happen. And I get that back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever let people in traffic and you felt like Mother Teresa? You're like, I'm a humanitarian. Look what I just did. So the Bible says you reap what you sow. Come on, shout it, class. You reap what you sow. So we just read here, if you have a stingy planting process, you get a little crop. So never ever, I want you to write this down, never judge another person's harvest if you did not see their seed. Never judge another man's harvest until you see a seed. You don't know what it costs them to be them. You don't know what it costs them to do that. But trust me, to everything that you see that looks miraculous and awesome, there is a cost for that. It costs a lot to be Oprah. It costs a lot to be Brad Pitt. It costs a lot to be different people. It costs a lot to be the president. It costs a lot to be whatever. It costs people something. It didn't like... Joyce Meyer always says people need more, backbone than wishbone, because they say, I wish I had a big ministry. I wish my house was clean. Joyce says, well, you start by going to the dishes. I don't want to make you mad today, but you have to do your own dishwasher. Come on, you got to load the dishwasher. And by loading the dishwasher, I do not mean get your wife drunk. Come on, somebody. I'm saying load the dishwasher. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to that right now. I got some booze on that. I can feel that. See, part of this is the Holy Ghost and part of it's me. You decide. So picture this. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. The Amplified says, a prompt to do it giver. One that says, man, I'm excited. I'm excited. Because see, when I think about the Weldon Spring campus and how God gave us that building, I get excited. When I think about how this used to be the biggest bar in the state of Missouri, and loads of people used to get drunk in here every week, and I meet people every week who say, when I heard that Faith Church is there, I knew where it was because I saw Charlie Daniels there. I saw Tanya Tucker there. And every week they came in doing their boots getting boogie, you know? Swing your partner, swing around, kick her in the booty and knock her down. They were doing all kinds of stuff up in here. And then the next thing you know, we turned it into a church. And now a lot of the people who were looking for love in all the wrong places actually found love in the same place, because we had a passion for that. Come on, somebody ought to hear me now. We had a passion to say, we're going to build God a house, and not an average house. We're going to build an all-in house. We're going to build a house that we all hang together. Or we hang separately. We're not building a white church, a black church. People say, this is a white church, a black church. No, this is the church of Jesus Christ, which has a lot of diversity. Come on, somebody ought to go with me there. This is a church that doesn't run from racism. We know racism is real. We know it is alive, and we're not afraid to talk about it. But we are talking about it in a demoralizing fashion, saying, not here, not today, devil. And we are going to help be the answer to the world's problem of racism. Somebody ought to say amen to that. And you can't be afraid to talk about the elephant in the room. The Bible said it's not white, it's not black, it's not male, it's not female, it's not Jew, it's not Gentile, that we are now Christians. We're born into a family. We are making a difference. And we're called to change the world. So today, as we think about it, and I want you to go ahead and get out that envelope that you have right now. And if you so chose to do what Nicole said so eloquently, which was to write the vision and make it plain, you ought, maybe you even thought of some stuff. You're like, hey, I also want to write that on there. I want to own my own salon. I want to get that law degree. Whatever it is, just write it down. Pray big, bold prayers. When I pray for God to put us on television, I don't just see St. Louis and West Palm Beach. I saw America. And then a guy experienced a life change, and he owns Newsmax. And Newsmax started putting us on one of the biggest networks, and now we're on DirecTV and Dish. I met a guy by the name of Kenneth Copeland. He said, I love the way this church rolls. And he put us on nationally on DirecTV and Dish 14 times a week for free. We don't pay for any of that stuff because you pray, when you're planting seeds, you pray big, bold prayers. I want you to lift that up right now, and I want you to say this over your offering, all campuses. We're going to sing here in a minute, but I want you to shout this. Shout, I believe these are my banner years. I believe that as I sow my seed today, I have a heart for the house. I'm like King David. I decree, use me, Lord. I want you to bless me so I can bless your house. I prophesy over my seed that leaves my hand today that it'll not leave my life. We will take back what the enemy has stolen. We will be the answer to racism. We will be the church that we're called to be in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for your anointing and your power to touch every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. God, let the ushers come forward right now at all campuses to receive this seed. Now, we're not just tithing and giving an offering today. We're giving this offering like David did that we prepared for your house. God, we know that this is the season of giving. This is the season, God, where we are about gifts, but some of us have got it wrong. We're buying stuff for our family when it should be about Jesus. It's not about the gifts under the tree, but it's the gift who hung on the tree. God, today as we drop this in the bucket, that's not what we're doing. We're sowing this seed into our future. And God, whatever that is, next week we're going to announce what it was, and we'll be able to say, we're able to do this and this. Or we'll be able to say, we're able to do this, this, and that. But God, every person who sowed today, Lord, I decree and declare that it's coming back to them. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together and running together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, usher, serve the people.
Our champion, you fight for us.
Oh, you fight for us.
You made a way where there was none.
Oh, you made a way, Lord.
Our champion, you're
come on, Weldon. Come on, Sunset. Come on, Florida. Sing it now as you give. You're sowing a big seed.
You paid in blood.
You're prophesying over your future right now. You're opening your business. You're getting that dream to come into a reality in your life. Oh, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for every seed that's hitting the ground. It is coming back to us, God. 2018, 2019, 2020. It'll be bizarre, God. It'll be beyond what we dreamed of. It's going to be bigger than eye has seen. Ear has heard. It's going to be big. Come on, sing it.
Our champion, you're strong in it.
Oh, you made a way.
The day we are, you made it there.
Come on, let's sing it strong, all campuses.
Our champion, you fight for us.
Oh, you fight for us.
You made a way
where there was none. Come on, stand up and sing it. Let's sing it again. Our champion.
Our champion, you fight for us.
Oh, you're fighting for us, Lord.
You made a way
where there was none. Oh, you made a way.
Our champion, you're strong in us. The day we owe, you paid it all.
Come on, give the Lord a great big praise today. Come on, Sunset. Come on, our city. Come on, Weldon. Shout, I'm an overcomer. Look at your hands and say, these hands have passed the test of being sticky. These hands are authorized dealers of prosperity. I declare God is out of my future. And He's making a way for me. I want Nicole to come up and see if she has anything she wants to add or to say. And how many of y'all truly believe that God placed you in this church, in this season, in this time? I met a couple last night, Nicole, from Weldon. And they came up and they said, double dippers, Saturday night crowd. They came up and they said, thank you for changing our lives. Thank you for building that church. And to be truthful, I love when people tell me that. But in a way, I hear it so much, I almost become inoculated to it. But I just want to say, people tell us that every week by the hundreds. Yeah. And I want you to know, we know who does that. Ultimately, we know it's God. Yes. But we know we would not be on this stage today if it wasn't for you.
Yes.
If it wasn't people who went through Growth Track. If it wasn't the people that served. You guys truly are legendary heroes. And when you get to heaven someday, and you're going to go there, God's going to look at you and He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And you will never regret anything you've done for the kingdom of God. Come on, go ahead. Give the Lord praise. I also want to say thanks to our campus pastors. When I think about Austin and Morgan, and I think about Levi and Radiance down there in Florida, and Tim and the whole crew, and Titus, he's on vacation this weekend, but Gennaro's, he's down there. When I think about Pastor Drew, Pastor Paul, Pastor Phil, who's a little under the weather this weekend. But when I think about all these guys, when I think about Adrian, do you know that we've got, Pastor Omar, oh my gosh. When you think about the crew that we have, we truly have been blessed with the best team, the best staff,
yeah,
the best pastors in the whole wide world. It's amazing.
You know, when I was reading this yesterday, Nehemiah 8:10, which is a verse I really, really know. But I realized yesterday, I know the last part. And the last part, I think you know it too. It says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. But I was reading the first part, and God really drew my attention to it. And it said, I want you to eat the choice food. You know, that's what you want to hear at the holidays. Right? I want to eat the choice food. He says, I want you to eat the choice food. And I want you to drink the sweet drink. Well, we don't all decide what the same thing is for choice food. Some of us like one thing, some of us like another. Just like if you go to a party. Some people like the salty foods and the appetizers.
I like both.
People like dessert. Who's my appetizer people? Who's my dessert people?
Uh-huh.
So the same way we don't have the same choice foods in the room, we don't have the same choice life in our banner year.
Right.
So we determined on our envelope, we've determined in our heart, we've placed with our God what our choice food is and what our sweet drink is. Is it health? Is it healing? Is it prosperity? Is it promotion? Is it the new job? Is it more clients? Is it restoration in your family, restoration in your marriage, bringing in your spouse? We determine what that thing is. Now, God is in heaven. Everybody say, God's in heaven.
God's in heaven.
He's on the throne. He's in charge. He's looking down. He's willing.
Yeah.
And He's able.
Yeah.
He's available. He's been waiting on me to plant my seed, to loose His hands. He's been tied by my faith.
Yeah.
He's been tied by my obedience. But now, I'm obedient. But now, my faith is high. But now, I'm in position. I'm ready with my arms raised, with my wallet open, with my heart open, with my job ready, with my running shoes on, to receive the blessing of the banner year right now in Jesus' name. Go ahead and give God a shout of praise for what He's moving to do for you right this minute.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.